All right, then, where's Marisol? Right behind you, he said. Yay, God! Yay, yay, yay. Yep, thank you, Marisol. You know, some of y'all said you weren't happy about this weather. I'm disappointed. Not because, you know, I love the cold, nothing like that. But you know how much we have to be thankful for? Do you know that you could be in North Carolina still suffering from Helene with no home, no heat, no roof over your head, and snow and cold? Aren't you thankful you're in Florida and it ain't even freezing and there's no snow and the sun shines part of the day and God shines on you all day long? If you said you weren't happy, I want you to change your mind. Are you happy? Are you happy? Always full of joy. The weather should have no impact on how we feel. In fact, if you don't like the weather, it's cold, just put a jacket on, go outside, stand outside, and take a few deep breaths of that beautiful fresh air that God has provided. Because you could be in California and it could be all full of smoke. All right, have I said enough? Are you thankful now? Yeah, okay, great, great, great. Let's see, where do I want to start? When God called Bishop to preach, sort of like Moses, God had all the... Bishop had all these excuses. I haven't been to seminary. I don't know how to do that. I this, I that, I the other thing. And God said to him, and tell me if I'm wrong, Bishop, but I don't think I am. God said to him, I'm going to use you to speak my truth. Is that correct? Yes. He has an assignment to speak God's truth. Therefore, the distinctive character of this house, the flavor of this house, has to be truth. That you come here and you hear truth. And all those of us who sit under his ministry, sit under his teaching, listen to the truth that he teaches and demonstrates, need to be living in the truth. Walking in the truth. That's part of the assignment God gave him. To speak the truth, to teach the truth, and it is obligatory for us to walk in the truth. In Psalm 51, when David was, that's his psalm of repentance after he sinned with Bathsheba and he had her husband murdered, you know, and it took him a year and a half approximately to realize his sin and to get before God and repent. But in that psalm, he says, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. God desires that deep inside us, in our heart, in our spiritual man, we have truth. You can't walk in truth if the truth isn't in your heart. There is nothing more important than walking in the truth. If we are going to be different from the world around us, we have to walk in the truth. There is no truth out around us in the world. The truth has to be in us. God is so amazing. We think that we walk in truth. When you look at that question, are you walking in truth? And you probably said, well, I hope so. Because nobody's going to be prideful enough to say, yeah, I am, all the time. You say, well, I hope so. in any church, there are people who hear the truth and endeavor to walk in the truth, and there are people who hear the truth and blow it off. Like James says, forgetful hearers. They hear the word and they go out and forget that they ever even saw, like seeing themselves in a mirror and walk away and forget that they even saw them. Forget that they even heard the truth. Great message, Bishop. Great service. Good points. Bye-bye. And that's the end of Sunday service for you. You don't think about it. You don't walk in it. You don't ask God how it applies to your life. That's not walking in truth. Some of us know the truth, hear the truth, and make a conscious decision that we're not going to do it. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. In fact, Jeannie, Bishop had you up here Sunday and told your story about how there were truths of God that you knew and you rejected, and then you started walking in them. And things started changing for you. Am I right? Oh, she's gone. Okay, well, we know she's right. We're right. That's what happened. And that's... God is so good. Yay, God. All right. All right, so let's walk in truth tonight. Here we go. Let's see the first verse, Eugenia. 3 John 4. You know that 3 John is a very short book. If you've ever read it, I don't know how many verses it has, but they don't even call it chapter 1. It's a letter, and there are a few verses. And in the fourth verse of 3 John, this is written by John the apostle that Jesus loved, and he's an elder statesman now, let's put it that way. He says, he wrote these words, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Who told him to write those words? God, the Holy Spirit. That is God saying to you and to me, I, God, have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God has no greater joy. Nothing pleases him more, nothing makes him happier than to know that you and you and you and you and I, that we walk in truth. Nothing gives greater joy to your bishop than to know that you, whom he loves and spends his life teaching the truth to, are walking in the truth. Nothing brings greater joy to your other spiritual leaders. Nothing would make Pastor Linda happier than that we all walked in unity. If we all walked in truth. We who lead and teach and pour out our lives for you have no greater joy than to know that you are walking in the truth that you are being taught. Your parents, your teachers, your employers, it makes them very happy to know that you live an upright life, that you are truthful, that you are trustworthy. Here's something you maybe didn't think about. You, personally, have no greater joy than to know that you walk in truth. Do you remember when you made Jesus Lord of your life and how happy you were? How joyful you were. The sky seemed bluer. The sun seemed brighter. Everything changed. And you had a joy and a happiness that you had never had before. There's strength in joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The book of Nehemiah is about the man, Nehemiah, who has been sent by God to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And there was a day when Nehemiah called all the people together in the town square early in the morning at sunrise and had Ezra, the scribe, read the word of God to them because they had come from Babylon. They didn't know the Word of God. They didn't know what God expected of them. They didn't know how far out of alignment with God they were. And he read the Word to them, and it says that while Ezra was reading the Word, the priests and the Levites and the other spiritual leaders were circulating among the crowd to give them the sense and the meaning and the understanding of what he was reading. And as he read, the people began to cry, to mourn, to weep, because they were so sorrowful how they had disobeyed God all those years when they didn't know. And as they are crying, mourning, weeping, repenting of their sins, Nehemiah says to them, don't mourn, don't weep. This day is holy to the Lord. This day, God has great joy in you because you have repented of your sins, because you have come to understand what he wants from you, and now you can live with him. God has no greater joy than to know that you walk in truth. The joy that God has in you is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the joy he has in you that makes you strong. You know how, what word shall I use for it? Weak, disappointed, sad. You feel when God convicts you of sin. When you know you're not walking in truth and God convicts you, and all of a sudden your heart is sad. You don't have the strength you had. You don't have, because it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And our disobedience robs us of that joy. So if you want joy, stay in alignment with God. Let's go to the next verse, which contains this one, but it's more information. I want you to see some other things here. John, 3 John, verses 2 through 5. There aren't a whole lot more verses than that in the book. My beloved friend. Now, first of all, can God say that about you? Are you his beloved friend? Do you treat him like a beloved friend? Do you treat him like you treat your best friend? Do you talk to him as often as you talk to your best friend? Do you concern yourself with God's happiness and what pleases him like you do your best friend? Do you act as quickly to do something for him as you do for your best friend when they ask you for a favor? Do you act as quickly for God to do something for him as you do for your friend when they ask you for a favor? If so, you're my beloved friend. And he says, my beloved friend, the person he's addressing is a man named Gaius, who is a convert, who is a close friend of his, who is a leader in a church that John planted. So he is a beloved, faithful Christian friend. John says, I pray that everything is going well for you and that your body is healthy as your soul is prosperous. So we have three things here, and you need to see this. He prays that everything is going well in his life, that he's prospering in everything. And he prays that he's in good health as his soul prospers. Your prosperity in every area of life, your health, is connected to whether or not your soul is prosperous. Now, the question is, what's a prosperous soul? A prosperous soul is someone who is spiritually strong, spiritually healthy, spiritually prosperous. It's someone whose mind is filled with God's word, someone whose mind is being renewed daily by the word of God. David also said, your word I've hid in my heart, God, so I won't sin against you. That's a prosperous soul. A prosperous soul is one who is ingesting God's word. That means eating it, taking it in. and digesting it, keeping it in there, thinking about it, meditating on it, letting it roll around inside you, and let God show you more and more and more about what it means, so that it changes you from the inside out. That's a prosperous soul. It's someone who is spiritually prosperous. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I think. Don't be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be like everybody else you see around you. Don't be like the world. Don't copy them. Don't imitate them. Don't let them affect you. Don't be shaped. Conformed means shaped. Don't be shaped like them, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means to be completely changed in appearance, in character, or both. To be completely different. John recognizes that Gaius, whom he hasn't seen for a long time, is spiritually prosperous. And he's commending Gaius for the strong spiritual life that he displays. And he prays that every other area of Gaius's life is equally prosperous and blessed. Your spiritual prosperity produces prosperity in every area of your life. That's what happened to Jeannie. She started doing the word of God. She became more spiritually prosperous, and she'll be more and more spiritually prosperous. And as she became more and more spiritually prosperous, her life became more prosperous. Her life became more healthy. She was more prosperous in her job, more prosperous in her relationships, in her marriage, more prosperous in her finances. I can't even wait to see what's next for Jeannie as she continues to prosper, as her soul continues to prosper, as she continues to prosper spiritually. Watch her prosper in every other area of life. Now, what demonstrated to John that Gaius was prosperous, spiritually prosperous? How did he know that? I was thrilled when the brothers and sisters came and told me stories of your faithfulness as you continue to walk in the truth. He was thrilled because people came and told him about his faith, about his faithfulness, about the fact that he was walking in the truth. Verse 5, my friend, you demonstrate your faithfulness. I think we need to. My friend, I don't see it up there. Oh, there it is. My friend, you demonstrate your faithfulness in all the things you do. See the word do? You demonstrate that you're walking in truth in all the things you do. Not all the things you say, not all the things you know. You need to know them, but you demonstrate them by all the things you do for the brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers to you. You treat them as family. So I think John is saying the same thing Bishop is saying with his message. God treat people that way? We demonstrate that we are spiritually prosperous by the way we treat other people. Walking in truth means practicing the word of God that we have taught. How timely that Bishop is asking us, did Jesus treat people that way? So you can ask yourself, am I walking in truth? Did Jesus treat people the way I'm treating them? If he didn't, I'm not walking in truth. The way you treat others demonstrates whether or not you're walking in truth. It reveals whether or not you are spiritually healthy, spiritually prosperous, spiritually mature. Let's look at John 17, one verse 17. Jesus is praying the night before he goes to the cross. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. He prays for everyone who will come to believe in him through his disciples. And he prays for the world. And in this, he's praying for his disciples. And he says set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. He's talking to his father. He says, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you protect them from the world. I pray that you set them apart in your truth. God's word is truth. It's God's word that sets us apart from the world. Every word of God is pure. That's in Proverbs somewhere. Every word of God is profitable and trustworthy and is something we can build our lives on. And through it, we are equipped and capable for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is the truth that we know and the truth that we walk in daily that sets us apart from the world. Bishop recently said there is no truth in the world. And that is the truth. You know it's true. All you have to do is look around you. When you look around, you see that the world is full of lies, full of deception, full of deceitfulness, full of dishonesty, full of people you cannot trust, full of people who are betraying one another. The world is a mess. And there is no truth in the world. But we have to be different. We must be different. Our word must be true and reliable when we give it. Otherwise, how does the world know you're different? If they can't depend on you and your word, just as they can't depend on others, how do they know you're different? They don't. It's the word that you know and the word that you practice that sets you apart and makes you a model for the world. Well, let me go here. Our business dealings have to be honest and fair to other people. Our conduct has to be above reproach. We have to demonstrate a different reality. Another translation of the word truth, where Jesus says, thy word is truth, is reality. Your word, God, is reality. It's what's real. It's the real deal. We have to demonstrate that there is a different reality from what they see around us. You know Bishop's message, I'm not crazy, my reality is just different. Every one of us need a different reality. Not just for, yes, we need a different reality about the power that we walk in, and the power that God has and what he has done. But every day you need to be demonstrating a different reality in daily living so that people know there is another way. There is another reality. There is a popular saying. It says, the local church is the hope of the world. Well, that's true if the local church is one where truth is preached. If the local church is one where the believers are living out the truth, then as that kind of church, we can show the world something that gives them hope. Hope for difference. Hope for change. If it is not being practiced, not being lived out, we aren't giving them any hope. In any church, you have those who are doing their best to live according to the truth, and you have those who are what James calls forgetful hearers. I mentioned that earlier. Which one are you? Are you every day practicing the truth, demonstrating the truth to the world around you? Or are you one of those who just really come in here and really enjoy service and walk out feeling about what a good service it was? But before you ever reach home, you've been in three arguments and said six cuss words and forgot what the preacher said, so you didn't go home and listen to it again. You know, it is so important after you hear the message to go home and listen again and let God sink it deep in your hearts. That's digesting it and letting it nourish you. God's word is truth. We said that. It's reality. It's the real deal. You may say or think that there are things in God's word that you can't do. And as Bishop said, I think it was Sunday, if you believe that, it's true for you. Maybe it was Wednesday. If you believe you can't, you can't. But the problem is you've believed a lie. And you know how when you listen to people or you watch TV and you hear people who believed a lie, how you go, well, that's a lie. Okay? Apply the same thing to yourself if there are things in God's word that you are saying, I can't do. Because you've believed a lie. The verse that Bishop talked about, he said, the most abused verse among Christians is, I can do all things through Christ. We say it, but we don't believe it. How do we know we don't believe it? Because we don't do it. Because we keep saying, I can't give up drugs. I can't give up alcohol. I can't give up smoking or pornography or cussing. I cannot give flying off the handle up. I just can't. They make me so mad, I'm going to fly off the handle. I can't give it up. I can't give up spending more money than I have and running up credit cards. I can't give up telling little white lies. How about this one? I can't give up disobeying inconvenient traffic laws. Hey. Yes, Connie. Someone has said to me, why do you stop at all those stop signs when there's nobody coming? It wasn't Connie. I said, because they're there. Because it's the law. Anything that you are telling yourself you cannot go on is a lie. And the truth is, you can, but you have decided not to. So what are the lies you're telling yourself? What are the lies you're telling yourself about getting along with others? I can't deal with her. She gets on my last nerve. I can't forgive him. He's hurt me way too many times, and you don't know how badly he's hurt me. I don't even want to talk to that person. Everything I say, they criticize, and they tell me I'm wrong. I can't get along with them. It's a lie. Sean said on Saturday night at the Bible study at the Youth Center that we are the salt of the earth. What did he mean by that? We are supposed to bring a different flavor to the earth, a different flavor to the conversation, a different flavor to the room, a different flavor to the atmosphere. God and your spiritual leaders have no greater joy than to see you overcome everything in your life that's hindering your walk with God. They have no greater joy than to see you becoming spiritually prosperous. No greater joy than to see that you not only hear what we preach, but you do it. And most especially, you do it when the going gets tough. The rougher and tougher times are, the more we should see you leaning into the truth that you've been taught, instead of running from it, ignoring it. Let's look at Hebrews 13:17. I think we got time for this one yet. Obey your spiritual leaders. You know who those are, right? Every person God has set over you. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God for it. Watch over your souls. They are accountable to God for teaching you the things that will make your soul prosperous. I don't want to stand before God and him say, Donna, you didn't teach them anything that would help their soul be prosperous. You didn't teach them anything that would make them spiritually strong. Their work is to watch over. Why do you think Bishop sees what you do? Why do you think we know? God shows us the gaps that we need to teach into, that you need to lean into. They are accountable to God. So, give them reason to do this work with joy. Don't make them cry at night. Don't make them sit around and go, God, why am I failing? What's going on here? Give them reason to do it with joy and not with sorrow. If you think that your spiritual leaders don't have sorrow when they see you not doing the word, you are wrong. You are deep in our hearts. Are you listening to me? You are deep in our hearts. And it causes us sorrow when we don't see you growing. Many times when I pray for you, I pray, God, let them get it. Let somebody get it today. Let somebody get it tonight. That's what we want more than anything, is for you to get it. That's putting it really bluntly. I asked Bishop one time when I was discouraged, how do you deal with it when you continually pour into people and they just don't get it? He said, focus on the successes. There are always successes. Focus on the successes. Thank God for them and continue to pray and continue to speak the truth, trusting God for the results. See, John's statement that is God's statement, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. The flip side of that is the grief that it causes us when you don't walk in truth. John mentions it in his little short letter. There's a man he mentions later on who is prideful and disruptive and destroying the unity of the church. And it grieves John. Paul talks about people who had betrayed him, abandoned him, did him much harm. It caused him great grief. One of them, he said, may the Lord repay him according to his works. You wouldn't want us to pray that over you, would you? But Paul's concluding statement is, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And we're going to stop there. There is nothing more important for you as a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of the King, a disciple of Jesus Christ, to hear the word, ingest it, digest it, let it sink deep in your hearts, and walk according to it. Your prosperity in every area of life is tied to your spiritual prosperity. If there is an area where you are not yet prosperous in your life, where you're lacking something, ask God. God, where am I still not spiritually prosperous? Why am I struggling with this? What do I need to learn? And when God sends you struggles and times of difficulty, instead of mumbling and grumbling through them, ask God, God, what am I supposed to be learning in this? What am I supposed to be learning that's going to make me more spiritually prosperous and then more prosperous in every area? God says, I wish above all things that you would be prosperous and be in health. That's God's will for you, that above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You get it? God, we are so grateful for your heart for us. You don't want to see us suffer. That's not your will. You don't like to watch us struggle. It brings you great joy when we walk in truth. So my prayer, Daddy, tonight is that you will show us where we are not walking in truth. Where is the cause of our struggle? What do we need to learn and do differently so that we can set a different standard for the world around us, so that we can show the reality of life with you, which is that you wish and pray above all things that we prosper and we be in health as our soul prospers. Show the world something different with your life. Show the world the reality of walking with Jesus. Show the world the reality of how Jesus would treat them. Because that's what's going to draw them to Jesus. Nothing else will draw him. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the beauty of tonight, for the prayers, for the dance. Father, for all of the music that we were able to just worship you and surrender our hearts to you. And thank you for this word, God. I pray that each one of us gets it on a deeper level and we walk in truth in Jesus' name.